Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all this morning. Everybody warm enough? Okay, well, we're going to have a good time this morning, aren't we? Rejoicing and getting into what God has for us this morning. I really believe that God has got something for us exciting this morning as we share together. It's good, isn't it, to come together? And I was reminded as I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 during the week, this wonderful chapter about us being all part of the body of Christ. And this verse from verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We're all part of the same body of Christ, aren't we? And we've each got a part to play, as we shall see a bit later. But it's good this morning to come together, to worship God, and to say thank you for all the things that he's done for us. So we're going to stand, and we're going to sing our first song this morning, My Heart and Voice I Raise, to spread Messiah's praise. Messiah's praise, let all repeat. The universal Lord, by whose almighty word creation rose in form complete. Let's stand and let's sing together. Please take your seats. Thank you. Those of you that are on email will have seen we have the notice sheet that's been produced for the whole of August. Please take that and read it. If you need a copy, there are some in the meeting room. Just have one thing to bring to your attention this week. Finally, we are at the stage where we're going to have the lighting replaced. Hallelujah. So there's going to be quite a bit of building work going on this week. There's going to be scaffolding going up so the guys can get at the lighting to replace it all. So those of you that are involved in the Tuesday prayer meeting that would normally be here in the building, please note this week it is on Zoom. Okay, so if you need a link, speak to Maxine and she will give you the link for the Zoom prayer meeting that would be in the building but's going to be on Zoom this week because we're going to have this place full of scaffolding and stuff. So come next Sunday, hopefully it's going to be majorly bright in here. That'd be exciting? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's great that there's things going on in and around the building. You know, we're seeing changes happening, and it's great, isn't it, for people coming in and for things to be happening. It was good on our members' meeting on Wednesday. If you were here, we had a good time, didn't we? And for those of you that know Pam Poole, who would normally sit immediately under the tree at the back there, we voted for her to come into membership on Wednesday, which is great, isn't it, that people want to join us to worship the great God we have together. Let's come to God in prayer, and then I'm going to share a few things on the slide. So let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning, that we can come as we are, just to say thank you for all the things that you do for us. Thank you that you're such a great God. And as we look around the world and we see what's going on, Lord, we pray into these situations. We continue to pray for the things that are going on in Ukraine at the moment. Father, we're still hearing stories coming out of there. But Lord, we thank you for the breakthrough that finally grain is going to be flowing out of Odessa, hopefully in the next few weeks. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to be in that situation, that you will bring this horrible situation to a speedy conclusion. And Lord, as we think of our country, so much turmoil going on here, as we see our government seem to be squabbling together as they try and decide how they're going to lead the country and who's going to lead us going forward. And Lord, I just pray into that situation as well, that you will be evident in amongst our government as the days and the weeks unfold, as we see so much happening in and around our country with the cost of living going up, people trying to manage, and the COVID numbers as well shooting through the roof again. Just be with those that we know that have COVID in our fellowship. Give them a speedy recovery. And for all those that are unwell and continuing to recover, just be with them. Those people that would normally be here this morning that aren't, for whatever reason, just be with them wherever they are. And Lord, we thank you for holiday times, that schools have broken up and that people are thinking about going away and maybe have gone away on holiday. I pray you will be with them this morning wherever they are. Give us all a great time over this next month, this August period, as we just holiday and we just relax and refresh and get ourselves ready for what I know is coming in September. So just give us a great time this morning, Father, as we seek your face. Amen. I want to ask you a question. How do you feel? It's a really common greeting, isn't it? When you greet somebody for the first time, you say something like, "Hello, how are you?" And to which the stock response is very often, "I'm fine, thanks, and you?" And then we reciprocate, don't we? And we say something like, "Yes, I'm fine here too." And you know, that word "fine" is actually code for, "This is my standard response, and I'm not going to tell you how I'm actually feeling." We don't like talking about our feelings or emotions, do we? Especially if it's someone we don't know well. Difficult, isn't it? As us stiff British upper lip people don't get involved and we don't show our emotions very often, do we? But you know, today's electronic world has a new way of expressing emotions, doesn't it? And it's called the emoji. Replacing words with a fun picture. And, you know, I think people are becoming much happier now to stick an emoji out rather than talk to somebody about how they're feeling. And do you know how far the simple emoji has actually come? I was astounded this week to find out, well, there is even now an emoji Bible. Can you believe that? So for the millennials who have lost their power, obviously, to understand words, it seems, there's now an emoji Bible. So I thought I would like to test this morning how our emojis are going, and just to prove this morning that we all actually use these things in our everyday lives, all right? So what I want you to do is just tell me the emotion that is displayed in the following emojis, all right? And I bet you've used a lot of these. Maybe you've used some today. What about that one? Happy. See, I knew you were going to know these. That one? Sad. Cross or angry. Yes, very much so. Angry. Anyone used that one recently? It's not cold. Worried or fearful. Yes, worried or fearful. You're all looking that way. I can see it. It's amazing as I look around how many faces I can see that have got that expression on them at this moment in time. Confused. That's that one. And the last one? Disappointed. Disappointed. Any of you have used any of those today? Yeah. Look at the young, but I told you, didn't I? All the young people, they're emojiing like there's no tomorrow. But you know, there's one emoji that outdoes all of those. Anybody know which one it is? It's that one. What's that? You've got it. It's love. The emotion that trumps all the other emotions. Love. And it reminds me that we are loved more than we ever know. God loves us so much. And I've took the beginning just to prove that you could all buy an emoji Bible and read it, okay? I've took the beginning of a verse from that Bible, and I'm going to show you it now. And I want you to tell me what the verse is, okay? And you're all going to know it, okay? I guarantee it. Straight out the emoji Bible, that is. For God so loved the world that he did what? That whoever believes in shall not perish but have. Brilliant verse, isn't it? For God so loved the world. So this week, all go rush out and buy your emoji Bibles. Right? I promise I'm not going to preach on that in September, all right? Just in case you're getting worried. But it's amazing, isn't it? You know, the way the world is changing and how some people seem to relate more to emojis than they do to actually talking. And it seems to be the way of the world. Shame, but there we go. But just remember how much God loves us and the entire world. We're going to come to a time of praise now. If the group want to get ready, we're going to sing a couple of songs. We're just going to enjoy and step into God's presence as we just sing two songs together. We're going to sing Behold the Lamb, and when the music fades, and we're just going to drop from one into the other. Feel free to stand or sit, and let's just enjoy the presence of God together as we just share.
Seeing there the great I am, crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Thank you. When the music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've
Thank you this morning that it is indeed all about you. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, be with us. Speak to us this morning. Give us something new to take home. Anoint us. Refresh us. In your name. So we come to our reading for this morning, and we're continuing our series on the churches in Revelation. And we come to the last church this morning, so our reading is from Revelation chapter 3, picking up at verse 14. And it's the message of the church in Laodicea. And it says these words: "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing.' And don't you realize that you are wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked? So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." What a letter. Where to begin? Laodicea was a very wealthy city and a central hub for banking, its judicial system, textiles, and medicine. A city and people that had an awful lot going for it were very much self-sufficient, yet its church was in a very dire situation, as we shall see. And right at the beginning, verse 14 tells us that this letter is from the Amen. Amen being used here as a name, signifying the very one, or the real, or true one. So right at the beginning, we're reminded that God is not only faithful, he is all truth. So whatever is coming, he's not going to lie. He will tell it as it is, even if it's not what we want to hear. And boy, there was no beating around the bush here, was there? God got straight to it. He told the church, "Look, I know everything about you. You're neither one thing or another. Lukewarm Christianity, and you make me sick." Stern words, huh? Now, you know, it must be really bad when God would prefer a cold church to what he finds here. A church that thought they were so rich and managing on their own, they'd completely lost their focus and were indifferent to the things around them. They thought they had it all. So this morning, we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at the three main areas that God pinpointed in the life of this church and see how, or if, it relates to our lives and fellowship. So the first thing I want to challenge you with is this. What are you worth? You say, I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing, verse 17 said. There was a lot of well-off people in Laodicea. It was the banking capital of the area. Money talks. And I guess if you have a bob or two, then you have less to worry about than if you're wondering where the next meal is coming from. But if you're measuring your worth solely based on the size of your bank balance, the size of your house, or the number of cars you own, or the social circles you travel in, then from God's eyes, something is definitely wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with having all these things, but it's all about perspective. When we rely on what we have, rather than putting our lives in God's hands, then we're on the slippery slope to God saying, you're wretched, miserable, and poor. Now, when I last looked, I couldn't find any of our names, and certainly not mine, on the UK's top 100 rich list. And so here I guess God is saying something a bit more than just about money. You might be saying to yourself this morning, well, I'm not worth much at all. But what does God say? Look at verse 18. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. So do you feel rich this morning? It's time to buy pure gold from God. God has riches he wants to share with you and with me. But note here the important thing. He's not giving it away. You have to buy it. It's going to cost you something. There's an exchange going on here. If you give to God, then he gives back to you. Pure gold is costly. But what God has for you and me, we cannot buy with money. This is all about getting yourself right internally. God wants to refine us in his furnace. Just as very hot fire brings the impurities in gold to the surface so it can be skimmed off, God wants to bring to the surface all those things in us that need removing. Here's what it says in Malachi chapter 3. But who will be able to endure it when it comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. And whilst often a painful process, we need to allow the Holy Spirit into every corner of our lives to change us and rework us into the vessels that God wants us to be. And here's the really neat thing, and I want you to take this morning. Pure gold is virtually indestructible. It doesn't corrode, rust, or tarnish, and fire cannot destroy it. When God is allowed to refine us, we too can become indestructible. The world can no longer tarnish us or destroy us. We will be able to work effectively for the extension of God's kingdom and the tasks he has for us. Our worship takes off on a whole new level. The transformation that happens on the inside manifests itself on the outside. This morning, we are new creations, no longer in condemnation. We are made right with God through Christ's death and resurrection. And now I'm jumping again. Yeah, we should be excited by that. Are you not excited by that? We can become indestructible. Just think about that for a minute. Indestructible. So that's the first point. What do you think you're worth? Here comes point number two. What are you wearing? One of the sought-after exports from Laodicea was black wool and garments. And again, God turns this on its head and says that they should buy white garments so that they will not be shamed by their nakedness. When I was a lot younger, I was part of a Christian outreach band called Agape, and we would play songs and perform sketches for churches we got invited to. And we all went through a phase of turning up to these gigs in white styled jackets. That tells you how long ago it was. And I must admit, we all looked pretty smart. We were the coolest kids on the block, all on stage, playing the songs we'd rehearse for hours on end in our white, lovely jackets. It was cool. But there was a big problem with the colour white. As you all nodding. Yeah. It soon gets grubby and dirty, doesn't it? And I must admit, it was pretty hard work keeping my pristine jacket looking like new. And white, of course, is a symbol of purity. And we as Christians, of course, are called to be spiritually pure. But it takes effort. And I guess it's a lot easier to be grubby than maintain the high standards that God would have for us. In fact, it's pretty impossible to do without the Holy Spirit continually washing us down. The Bible says that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a great verse? Jesus washes us clean. But how can we try and stay that way? Well, I think we get a great answer to this in Ephesians 6, where Paul encourages us to put on or clothe ourselves with the full armor of God. So how are you doing this morning? Did you wake up and put on your belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness before you came to church? Are you walking in the peace of the good news of Jesus? Did you remember to pick up your faith shield and ensure your head is covered by salvation? Did you grab your sword and read it before venturing out this morning? And how's your praying in the Spirit going? What a way to get ready for daily trials. And you know the great news? And here's something to take away this morning, just in case you forgot. Our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus, has already won the battle. Satan has been defeated. Hallelujah. Has anyone told you that recently? We're children of the living God, on the winning side, and we can clothe ourselves with Jesus as we look to him for our daily protection. So don't let anybody tell you that you're on the losing side this morning, because we are on the winning side. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you and for me. So what are you wearing? And the third thing I see from this passage is this. What can you see? The area around Laodicea was famed for its medical school, which treated, amongst other things, eye problems. Phrygian eye ointment was used to aid such treatments. And I remember, you know, as a small boy, I was given eye drops after an operation I had to aid recovery. I hated that cold liquid and would often blink just at the wrong moment so the liquid ran down my cheek instead of in the eye. But my mum persisted as she knew the importance of that cold liquid minimising infection or something even worse. And God knew the importance of what he had to offer too. We see here in this letter that God is saying to the that the church needed to look to him to restore their spiritual vision. They were completely blind to their current predicament. They were given the opportunity to refocus and turn back towards God. So here we are this morning. Is God saying to you and to me, it's time to refocus? Stop looking at all the things around you. Turn round and look back to me. A while ago, I spent a whole day looking at the same piece of computer code, wondering why I wasn't getting the result I expected. And it was really frustrating. I ran the code, I reran it, and I ran it again. Still exactly the same darn problem. I even pulled the data underlying database apart to see if it was a data problem. And eventually, after hours and hours and hours of scratching my head wondering why I couldn't get this thing to work, I realized the problem. I wasn't starting at the right place. The key that I had given the piece of code was wrong. So I was jumping into the data halfway through, not at the beginning. And once I'd started in the right place, all was perfect. So where are you starting from this morning? What's your starting point? I'm hoping you can say that your starting point is Jesus. And as a church, I feel that we're moving into a new chapter as we start to explore where God is leading us over the coming months. And as you know, I am personally really excited, and I think that's going to be my key word. If you've not gathered that already, I use that word a lot, don't I? Excited. And I am. Because I think that we're going to see some great things happening. And I hope you too are beginning to see that we're emerging into something new. And I hope you can get a passion and a longing for Jesus to break through into our lives and into our fellowship and into the community that's around us. Hallelujah. God has blessed us in the past, and I know he's got great things in store for our future. Amen? Are you with me? You don't want me to go home yet? Great. So I'd urge you to begin praying for where you fit into this vision. Is God prompting you to take up something new or move you in a different direction? We all have a part to play. And remember when Paul talks about the body with many parts in 1 Corinthians, there's one verse that I love. And it says that God has put each part just where he wants it. Hallelujah. So you're in the right place this morning. God has put you just where he wants you. You're here for a purpose. And it's not just to be a passive member who sits in those seats on a Sunday morning. What does the psalmist say? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And it's time to start looking up and trusting God for our future and not get blinded by and distracted by the world around us. And right at the very end of the letter to the Laodicean church that God wrote, it says that he was standing at the door knocking. And I wonder if you can hear God's voice speaking to you this morning. And if so, will you open the door and let him in? Because it's a two-way thing, you know. You can hear someone knocking on a door and never open it. So you'll never find out what God has for you. And God is knocking on all our doors. And he wants you to open the door and let him in. And of course, the verse says that he will come in and he'll share a meal together as friends. God wants to share with you. God wants to be your friend. We have a wonderful inheritance waiting for us. Do you know that? So let's not become lukewarm Christians, blowing neither hot nor cold. Let's open our spiritual eyes. Put on that spiritual armor. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, knowing that we have a rich reward waiting. Sitting side by side with Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We're going to close with, I think, the hymn that we sang last week to finish with. You can see what my short-term memory is like, and even my long-term memory, it's rubbish. But we're going to sing it again, because this is a great hymn. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be or else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Let's stand and let's sing together. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And let's all say together, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.